Thinking your chronic back pain was caused by an old sports injury? You could be painfully wrong. It might be an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. Stay tuned, because later in the show, we'll tell you more. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast. Week 15 is over. Wow. I mean, the season's almost over. I'm Will Brinson. Joining me live via the telephone from his automobile streaking up the coast of Florida back to Jacksonville, Pete Briscoe. Pete, what's going on?
Week 15, can you believe it? It's week 16 and it's Christmas week. Ho, 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 where did the season go?
It's gone quickly. We got some teams that have clinched. We saw the Raiders clinch, the Patriots clinch the AFC East for the eighth straight time. I argue that they're underrated. We can talk about that. The Raiders clinch for the playoffs for the first time since 2002. We'll mention that. But the big story, Sunday Night Football, the Dallas Cowboys took care of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, put the Bucs in a bad spot. They joined the Redskins in a rough spot, chasing that NFC wild card. The Packers are now in. But more importantly, should Zeke Elliott have been flagged and fined for his Salvation Army celebration?
Yes, he should have been, and the money all should have went to the Salvation Army.
He wasn't fined, ultimately, but he's going to donate $21,000 to the Salvation Army. Great gesture by him. I know that you tweeted this, and I'm sure the Twitter police got on you about it. I mean, Zeke should have been. Oh yeah, I made a joke about. I made a Grinch joke when you tweeted it.
I saw it. I wasn't saying it should have happened. I'm saying that's the rule.
Yeah, they need to. Right. If you use a prop,
Twitter policeman got your uniforms on and started firing out at me. Old man, get off my lawn, Grinch. Everything. I saw it. Look, I wasn't saying it should happen. I love celebrations. I wouldn't care if he filled that thing with water and took a dive into it. But the problem is the rules are the rules, and that was a prop.
Yeah, I mean, they got to do something about the rules, though, right? I mean, that needs to be. I understand they got bigger concerns, but that needs to be a focus this offseason for the NFL, is to make it so celebrations are enjoyable, but don't cross the line. I mean, there's a happy medium there where you can have your cake and eat it too if you're the NFL, where something like jumping in a Salvation Army kettle isn't bad, or I don't know, like Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown.
Yeah, but then what happens? Then you can do what I said. You fill it up with water and somebody takes a dive into it. Where do you draw the line? Well, I get it. I'm all for, I mean, using props, you know, look, I don't mind it, but then you get a little carried away. I think the old days of the fun bunch and dancing in the end zone and choreographed celebrations with your teammates, I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Like, it doesn't need to be. The key to me is it doesn't need to insult anyone else. You know, it doesn't need to be actual taunting. It doesn't need to be violent, so you don't need the throat slash. And it can't delay the game. Those are the three components for me that are all that matter. And if you get rid of those and you can have an enjoyable celebration and you can do something innovative.
But you can't have props because it's going to, and you can't allow them to use props because then it's going to get out of control and it will delay the game.
Okay, well then flag.
I'm going to go up here, over here, and get this prop and go bring it from behind the bench. You know, it's just, there's too much of that. If he grabs something like that, like when Chad Johnson grabbed the cheerleader's pom-pom, took them out of her hands and took those and did a dance with them, you know, that would be a penalty and a fine now.
That's that was
goes too far.
That was Terrell Owens, I think, that did the pom-poms, right?
Was it? I thought Chad did it once too.
Now, Chad had the remember Chad picked up the pylon and used it as a putter for the football. That was pretty good too. And then he did, Chad had the riverboat dance. Yeah, no, I agree with you. You got to set limits. But to me, it's just, I'm glad the NFL didn't fine him. But if I'm Odell Beckham or I'm Le'Veon Bell and they're mad about it, they think it's a double standard, then, you know, I'm probably saying the same thing. I'm like, hey, why am I getting fined for shaking somebody's hand and doing an end zone dance on Thanksgiving? And Zeke Elliott gets to prance around in his kettle and he's not going to be fined. They need to make it a 5-yard penalty too, instead of a 15-yard penalty. Same thing for on-field taunting. Cam Newton last night on Monday.
No, on-field taunting is 50-yard penalty.
But that
leads to more problems, leads to out of control. Cam Newton got hit illegally and should have been flagged, but he should have been flagged for throwing the football at the guy, too.
Okay, but why is Cam, and let's talk about that, why is Cam Why aren't these refs calling these flags on Cam? I mean, it was very obvious. And then you have later on, Kirk Cousins is inbounds and gets shoved, and there's a 15-yard flag on that. Why are these refs not giving Cam Newton the calls?
That one should have been called. I don't know. I mean, I think it's not just Cam Newton. I think it's a lot of the big quarterbacks. Roethlisberger doesn't get all the calls either. And I noticed the other day, Bortles took a shot on a run in the game and didn't get his call either. I think when you're a big physical quarterback, I think, and Cam is the best of that group, or Roethlisberger is the best quarterback, but Cam is the best runner of that group, then you're going to see a lot of guys not throw the flag, and it's unfair to him. That was a penalty, but Cam has to react better than he did.
Yeah, but he flipped the ball. I mean, like, he flipped the
ball.
No,
he threw the ball at him.
Yeah.
Come on, Will.
I agree. You can't do that if you're Cam. But it's not like, I mean, I get it. The flipping the ball thing bugs me because we've seen it really backfire in some instances this year. Terrell Pryor flipped the ball to a ref and accidentally hit another player and he got flagged for it. That sort of stuff is asinine to me, but it's sort of like where the league is. I just think they need to take a long look this offseason about cleaning up what has become just an over policed celebration and on-field, you know, activity situation.
Look, I like having fun. I think it's fun, but we're spending way too much time talking about celebration.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I mean, seriously, talk about the game.
All right, well, let's talk about the games on Monday night, for instance.
You know what the celebration thing is? That's like Exhibit A for a police force on the Twitter police force, and Colonel Will Brinson brought his evidence to the table so that that everybody could take a peek.
I want the truth, Pete. You can't handle the truth.
Oh, I can handle the truth. The truth is, let's talk some damn football.
All right, the truth is that the Washington Redskins are in hot water when it comes to the playoffs now.
Ooh.
What did you think about old Kirk Cousins' performance on Monday night in a must-win game?
Ooh-wee. I mean, look, I did a tweet last night. I said, this is why you're nervous about paying the guy. I mean, think about the last two games. Well, the two of the last games, well, the Arizona game, he threw an interception in the final minute, right?
Yep.
And then he was terrible in a must-win situation. Well, that's terrible. His numbers look good, but he wasn't as good. Those numbers, you look at those numbers, you go, oh, he threw for over 300 yards. He wasn't that bad. He was bad. And, by the way, I'm driving by Chris Collinsworth High School right now, Titusville Astronaut High School. Hey, Chris, how is it?
I bet he's not there.
I bet he's not either. He was a good player. He was a great player in high school, too.
And by the way, the reason you're driving, we didn't explain this. Usually you fly from Fort Lauderdale to Jacksonville, where you live. Fort Lauderdale is where you do your work, where we do our work for CBS video stuff. But you're driving because of northeastern storms. Is that right?
Yeah, on Saturday, all those storms, planes weren't going, so I wasn't going to get there. So I happened to call that joke. By the way, why does it say home of PFF on that high school over there? I don't get that.
all right, so Kirk Cousins, what do you do if you're
that's an inside joke. That's an inside joke, by the way, for people out there who might not pro football focus. Is Chris Collinsworth is that's his baby? So,
well, you wouldn't know it. They're not on the NBC broadcast at all.
Yeah, sure you would.
I love the PFF guys. So
I look, do too, but I like, but I don't, it's not an absolute.
No, of course not. Nothing is.
Sometimes they make it an absolute.
All right. So the Redskins are 7-6-1. If the Redskins lose one more, they're probably toast for the playoffs because they're at the Bears this week. They could lose that game easily to wetsuit Matt Barkley. And then they host the Giants, in week 17, I believe. If the Redskins lose one of those games, the best they can finish is 8-7-1, which is not going to get you in the playoffs, I don't think. I think you got to have 9 or 10 wins to get into that NFC. And if that's the case, what are you doing this offseason if you're Scott McLuhan with Kirk Cousins?
Franchise him again.
And just run it back?
Yeah, why not? And if he doesn't play for it, then he doesn't play for it. He's not going to be that stupid. At least $25 million on the table.
Would you consider?
The other thing is putting the other tag on him and seeing if anybody's going to go try and get him from him.
See, I like that idea. You put the non-exclusive tender on him, and it's a lower dollar amount. And if somebody, like, let's say the Jets or the Browns, They're like, hey, Kirk Cousins is good enough to be a franchise quarterback. We've got multiple first round picks. Let's go make a move for this guy. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that would be a stupid move, but plenty of teams do stupid things when it comes to NFL quarterbacks and to the acquisition of them. Look at the Jets and the Texans and who else paid money this offseason? The Browns.
Yeah, there's a lot of desperation. When you don't have one, you chase. It's desperation. That's what it is. Desperation. You chase to try and fill it. I can't imagine somebody would be that stupid to give up those picks for that guy, but maybe. You never know. If you're the Redskins, I'll take them. I would take them.
Yeah, and if you're the Redskins, you take the picks in a heartbeat, and then what you do is you trade a third-round pick to the Bears or maybe a fifth-round pick to the Bears and get Jay Cutler. I mean, Jay Cutler's starting salaries or base salary is $12.5 million. He's got a $16 million cap hit next year. He's probably going to get released anyway by the Bears because there's no dead money against the cap if they cut him. If I'm Washington, I'd rather pay Jay Cutler $12.5 million than pay Kirk Cousins $20 million. Kirk Cousins at 28, by the way.
I think Kirk Cousins might be fool's gold.
I think he almost definitely is fool's gold.
I mean, but, you know, people don't agree with that. But I'd be scared if I were the Redskins because you almost have to do something with them, and you might not want to. And so, I'd be concerned about that. They're in trouble. I don't think they're going to make it. I don't. You got to figure that if they go 8-7-1, the Lions and a bare minimum are going 9-7, right? They can only get to 9-7, and if the Packers went out, they'll win the division. The Lions will be ahead of them for a playoff spot.
That's right. The Lions' worst case scenario if they lose out would be 9-7. The Redskins' playoff chances fell from 70% if they won on Monday night to 26% with a loss. They're behind Tampa Bay now. Tampa Bay's at 8-6. Tampa Bay has to play at New Orleans and then home against Carolina. The Panthers are still alive. They got a crazy scenario, but the Redskins at Chicago and then the Giants at home. If you split those and you go 1-1. And you finish 8-7-1, you're toast. It's over. You're done. And you have to think that the Redskins, given how poorly they played on Monday night, probably are out of the playoffs. I mean, look, the Packers are 8-6. They get the Vikings at home this week and then at Detroit. You got to figure the Packers are going 1-1, worst case too, right?
Right.
And you got Tampa.
Yeah, I think they're in trouble. I think the Redskins are in deep trouble. Tampa's probably going to go, I mean, they could go 2-0, but they'll probably go 1-1, Tampa.
Right.
And that's better.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I mean, if you're Washington, you have to win out. You need Tampa Bay to lose out. You're in a big hot mess if you're the Washington Redskins. So I think you're probably right. They're probably done in that division. They might get a little bit of help depending on what the Giants do this week. Giants are at Philly. So Giants could get to 11-4.
They would clinch, right?
Yeah. So the Giants could clinch going into week 17. Just basically lock up that. They could lock up the five spot. And at that point, if you're the Giants, maybe you rest your guys against the Redskins and the Redskins get a freebie, but you still got to worry about Green Bay and Detroit and Tampa Bay. So I'm with you. I think the Redskins are probably toast. They needed to win on Monday night. They didn't do it. What do you think about the
If Green Bay beats Minnesota this week and Tampa Bay beats New Orleans this week, then the Redskins are essentially done.
Then the Redskins would be eliminated because the best that – no, they could get to 9-6-1. Yeah, they're not done.
Right, but
yeah,
the other no, they wouldn't be done. That's right, because they would. But if they lost, if they lose this week and those two teams win, then they're done.
If Washington loses at Chicago, it's over. I mean, I don't know if mathematically
and they could lose that game.
Yeah, sure. The Bears are playing pretty well. What about the Buccaneers? And what about your boy? I don't know. Was this you that got the rumors going, Mike Smith to Jacksonville? Is that a possibility?
They're not rumors. It's a fact. He's in the mix. And, you know, I love the story of pro football, whatever. Mike Smith will be the hot guy, whatever. He's going to be one of the guys they're going to interview. There's no doubt about that. They will interview Mike Smith. They will interview a bunch of guys. But, you know, it's not like that's a hot rumor. He's going to be, he's always going to be in the mix. They were impressed with what he did. They're impressed with what he's done in the past.
And, he's a defensive coordinator there, too. Yeah.
Yeah, he worked there. I mean, that's fast. Those people didn't. The people that are going to make the decision now weren't there when Mike was there.
Right.
But Dave Caldwell worked with Mike Smith in Atlanta, so they know each other a little bit.
You tweeted something, Pete, on right after whatever Doug Marrone was named the interim head coach, that you have a better chance of being the full-time head coach than Doug Marrone. Is that really true?
Yeah, I got a, like, the odds came out. I got a 2% chance, and he's down to 0.00000009%. He's not going to be the head coach.
Even if the Jaguars win their last two games?
No. If they thought he was going to be the head coach, they would have fired,
Gus Bradley
in November and then seen what Marone could do. I mean, the fear was if you did that, Marone went, 5-2 or something, then to be groundswell to keep him, and nobody wants to keep him. He has no chance. 0.00000 chance to be the head coach of Jacksonville.
Is there any chance that, Shad Khan said Dave Caldwell will be involved in the search for the next coach? Any chance that there are more changes in Jacksonville, or is this just a head coaching thing?
It's a head coaching thing, because Dave's going to make the decision. It's, with input from everybody else, it's an interesting dynamic. Do you hire a forceful guy, and then a year later he tries to boot you out? I mean, how does that work? So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out because, let's face it, Dave and Gus were friendly and had a good relationship, and the next guy might not be the case. But I think it'll be a situation where Dave makes the final decision, but he's getting a lot of input from everybody in the organization, including the Khan family.
The Mike Smith thing actually makes a lot of sense for Jacksonville. I mean, you're talking about a guy who is steady. He's a proven winner. He's got you like to point out his track record. He's improved that defense in Tampa Bay very quickly. He knows he's smart enough to bring in good offensive people to manage the offense. And who knows what's going to happen.
And he would leave him alone.
Yeah, exactly.
He would leave him alone. Look what he did with Dirk Cutter. He never interfered with Dirk Cutter. He let Dirk Cutter call the offense.
And he'd work with Dave Caldwell.
I think Mike Smith would be a great choice. The question becomes, can they hire another defensive coach? But I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is, do you hire a defensive coach, and who is his coordinator? And who will that guy be? And will he leave him alone, and what can he do with the offense? Because right now, they have talent on defense. The problem is the offense.
Right, and it's funny because if you thought that in Jacksonville, if you thought that the offense would be the problem, then if you thought the defense would be a top 10 unit, then you would pencil the Jaguars in for the playoffs.
It all regressed on offense, and that's a sign of coaching. I mean, here's part of the problem when you hire a guy like Gus Bradley. Gus Bradley knows football. Gus Bradley's a great man. But when you hire a guy like that, he usually hires his friends and buddies and pals and stuff. And then you got to weed through that when they're not great coaches. Look who he went there. Look how many coordinators he went through. He's got a third offensive coordinator and a second defensive coordinator. So I always think that's a problem as well.
Speaking of problems, how big of a problem is Derek Carr's finger right now for the Oakland Raiders?
Only Derek Carr knows. It didn't look like it was that bad the other day. I don't think it's – to me, Stafford's finger will be worse because it's the middle finger compared to the pinky. But maybe, he toughed it out a little bit better. But I don't think Carr's finger was the issue. I didn't think so.
Okay. Oakland clinched for the first time since 2002. Let's assume Derek Carr can get that finger right. How much of a chance do you give Oakland of actually progressing through the playoffs to the Super Bowl?
New England's in that conference, aren't they?
They are.
The only team that can beat New England, in my mind, the only team, is the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's it. The only one. You can talk all you want about the Chiefs. We saw the Chiefs last week. We've seen the Chiefs lose 2 of 3 at home to Tampa Bay and Tennessee. I mean, that's who the Chiefs are. They're not good enough offensively. I don't care what Tyreek Hill does. You look at the Broncos, they're terrible on offense. You look at, the AFC South team, whoever it is, unless it's the Colts, isn't going to be great on offense. You look at the Raiders, they're great on offense. The defense isn't very good. So it all points to Pittsburgh. If Pittsburgh wins this week, they win the division, they're the most dangerous team in the AFC to go challenge New England. Now, New England's the favorite because, Pittsburgh doesn't play well at Foxborough, but they're the only one. They got the quarterback, they got the running back, they got the speed guy outside, Brown, and their young defenders are getting better. So if you ask me right now, I'd say I see New England and Pittsburgh in the championship game in the AFC. It's pretty easy. It's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, and New England gets the Jets this weekend. If New England wins against the Jets, they'd be 13-2, and in I think the Raiders are 11-3. Or if the Raiders win this week, the Raiders host Indy, so there's no guarantee. The Steelers can catch Oakland for that first round bye, which would be very interesting. New England, I guess, is going to have to play out the string unless Oakland wins if they want to clinch that first round bye, depending on how that, because it ultimately would come down to strength of victory. When you look at Houston, who are currently the number four seed, 8-6, there's a two-way tie.
Tennessee's winning the division, bro.
You think so? Even with Tom Savage?
No, Tennessee is winning the division.
I like the Titans. Your boy Mike Mularkey.
They're going to go to Jacksonville, win this week, and showing you what Doug Marrone's really all about. and then they're going to go to play host to the Texans on the following Sunday and win that game.
What did you think of Tom Savage when he filled in for Brock Osweiler? Because look, this is a low bar we're talking about. I thought he looked good. He actually looked better.
He looked better than Osweiler. Osweiler's terrible. I mean, he's terrible.
Yes, he's terrible. I mean, like I did, but Savage at least like focused in on DeAndre Hopkins and threw the ball accurately. Do you think we see a drop off this week? Houston gets Cincinnati at home. Cincinnati's reeling. I mean, do you think you see a drop off from Savage after a week of tape and Marvin Lewis getting a chance to look at it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference between coming off the bench and doing something and then coming off the bench and starting and people game planning for you. It's an entirely different ball game. And usually it takes three games to get a real feel for the quarterback. But I think if you look at this situation, it's going to be tough for him. I think this game's going to be close. I think the Bengals will play close this week.
All right, we're going to pause very quickly for a commercial break, and then we'll be back to break down some more playoff stuff and look ahead to week 16.
Hey, sports fans, if you're like me, you love a pickup basketball game or a round of golf with your friends. And maybe you thought an awkward jump shot or a few ugly swings were causing your chronic back pain. Truth is, you could be painfully wrong. Because if your back pain started before age 40 and has lasted longer than 3 months, it could point to an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. To learn if your symptoms could signal AS, take a short quiz at asbackpainquiz.com. Then talk to your doctor. Find out if you could be painfully wrong. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
All right, Pete. So looking at the NFC, two teams catch my eye based on, and I don't want to say the results, but the Giants are averaging less than 20 points a game, and they're 10-4, and they win close games, and their offense isn't great. It's just slant, slant, slant to Odell Beckham. And then the Falcons, no one's talking about the Falcons. Which team do you trust more in the NFC playoffs?
Ooh, that's a good question. Probably the Falcons because they'll be home. The Giants aren't going to be home. They're going to have to go the wild card route. So probably Falcons.
Giants had the better D overall, but Atlanta's kind of playing well. They're stomping some bad teams.
You look at the yards for attempt for Matt Ryan, it's like 9.5 almost or whatever. The guy's had this unbelievable year. He right now, he might be the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
If they went out and they win the division, he might be the MVP. He's playing that well. And then there's always the talk about, well, what can he do without Julio Jones? Look what he's done without Julio Jones. He's been on fire the last couple of weeks. So I think they're dangerous. And you know what? The one thing you got to have in the postseason is the sack fumble game over guy, and Vic Beasley emerges as that guy for that. So they're dangerous. They're not going to be an easy out for anybody in the postseason.
Yeah, if I'm Atlanta, I sit Julio Jones the rest of the year. Let him get healthy. They're still chasing the Seahawks and they can catch the Seahawks and get that bye. That's not out of the question.
Not with the Seahawks scheduled or not.
Seahawks have Arizona at home this week, then at San Francisco. Atlanta is at Carolina and home against New Orleans. The only threat in the NFC, you don't sit Julio because the Buccaneers are still there as a threat for the Falcons in the AFC. You need Tampa Bay to lose at New Orleans this week. You take care of business in Carolina. I kind of like the Panthers against the Falcons as underdogs, though, this week.
Well, and remember what the Falcons did to them last year as an underdog and ended their perfect season. Remember, mm-hmm. late in the season. So, payback could be hell. But, I don't know, that's a short week, really short week playing on a Monday.
Yeah, right? That's true.
I mean,
that's
you got to play on a Saturday.
Travel's not bad, though, because you're coming from Washington. I mean, it's like, you know, like a
But it's still, you get home late last night at like 2 in the morning and everything's accelerated. You got to play on Saturday. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
You're home, but it's still tough.
Who do you think is the most dangerous team in the NFC right now?
Dangerous team or best team or which team? I mean,
Green
Bay.
You're the man. You're the GM or the coach of a team that has a good seed in the NFC. It doesn't matter who you are. You just have that good seed. Who is the one team you don't want to see coming to your building?
Green Bay.
Why did they not blow out the Bears?
Well, they did. Then they kind of took the fourth quarter off. That happens when you're on the road sometimes in the NFL. It was 27-10 that game.
That's true. They get Minnesota at home. I think they're going to wax Minnesota. I think Minnesota's dead man walking.
Yeah, they'll beat Minnesota, and then they'll beat the Lions, and then they win the division.
Yeah, I mean, no, I think it's going to happen.
So if the Packers win the division, the one seed would be Dallas, two seed would be Seattle, mm-hmm. the three seed would be either Green Bay or Atlanta.
Yep.
The four seed would be Green Bay or Atlanta. Five would be
the Giants.
Six would be Tampa, Detroit.
So if the Packers win the division, I don't think Detroit's going to make the playoffs because they're at Dallas this week, and that's
if they go 9-7, and Tampa loses one, then they'll probably get in. If Washington lost one, so they could still get in. It's a wild card.
That's true. That's true.
Then it would be Detroit at the three seed. So say it could be Detroit and Green Bay.
Yeah,
flop back to back, and then. Or Detroit at Atlanta, and then the Giants at Green Bay could be.
Yeah, or the Giants.
They could have some good first-round games.
If the seeds hold in the NFC, I mean, if the teams hold, not the seeds hold, those are some, I mean, premier games too, because you're talking about like some big franchises. And I always think back to like that Atlanta, Green Bay game where Aaron Rodgers, was it Sam Shields with the pick six? Before halftime, or was it Trayvon Williams?
Yeah, that was when Rodgers didn't let the ball go about 9 feet above anybody's head. He threw lasers all day.
Yeah, it was that virtuoso performance. And you got to be with me. This Green Bay team right now reminds you of that Green Bay team a little bit in terms of how the defense is coming together late, how Aaron Rodgers is playing down the stretch, and then of course the Giants and the Falcons also have a history. Remember the Eli? Poor Falcons. Remember they scored 2 points. Before Eli started his hot stretch to win the Super Bowl. And you have the Lions who are desperate to win a playoff game. So there's a lot of drama in that.
And then
NFC.
The Green Bay Seattle playoff game, the Dallas Dez Bryant Green Bay playoff game. It's all recent history. I mean, you got a lot of interesting. Yeah, the NFC playoffs are going to be fun.
Yeah, and you got don't sleep on the idea of a third. It wouldn't be a rubber match because the Giants have already won the first two, but the possibility of Dallas and New York playing a third time in the playoffs has to be terrifying for Cowboys fans, right?
And two teams that have beat the Packers beat up Seattle this year, and Dallas went there a couple years ago with the same style of offense and beat them up. Remember, they ran for 100 yards in the fourth quarter with DeMarco Murray, so they physically beat them up. So, yeah, there's a lot of intrigue in the NFC.
If it holds the way it is right now, Detroit's the worst team in the NFC, right?
In the NFC playoffs?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll know more about Detroit on Sunday. I mean, don't sleep on the Lions this week. It'll be interesting to see what they get. I know it's back-to-back road games, which is always brutal when you're playing against a really good team on the road. But let's find out more about the Lions this week. If the Lions somehow won that game, then all of a sudden you sit back and you think totally different about them, right? I mean, you think they were a really good team.
Yeah. If the Lions somehow won that game, by the way, Dallas would be 12-3, and if the Giants won, they'd be 11-4, and it's just a half game back of the division. That would be interesting. Then it might get your boy Jerry Jones talking about Tony Romo again.
But then they would have the Eagles the next week in Philly.
Yeah, Dallas in Philly, and the Giants home against Giants in Washington. So two road games.
So that would be an interesting end of the year for sure.
Philly could play spoiler. Yeah, absolutely. In the AFC, it's easy choice team. You again, the random scenario where you're the head coach GM. The team you don't want to see coming to your building is the Steelers or the Patriots?
Pittsburgh. Okay. I mean, the Patriots are the best team. You know what? I mean, they're not going to anybody's building. They're going to their own.
Right.
The team that nobody wants to play is Pittsburgh. Because they look, you know, it's postseason's about quarterback, and look who has the best quarterbacks that are Brady, Roethlisberger, and Rodgers. They're the best quarterbacks. And so those are the most dangerous teams when they get in. And Ryan, the way Ryan's playing, too.
Yeah, yeah, it helps. What about the Dolphins? I mean, are you buying this Miami team?
I think Gase has done a great job with that team.
He should be the coach of the year.
Well, they don't have a lot of talent.
That's what I'm saying.
Real. I mean, but they haven't exactly beaten a lot of teams, so it's hard to, you know, look at the teams that Miami's defeated this year. I mean, they beat Pittsburgh, but aside from that, look at the teams that they've defeated. Ready? Go through it, bro. Look at their schedule and you go through it.
All right, give me 1 second. I will bring up the Dolphins' schedule.
But Gase has done a great job because that team doesn't have a ton of talent.
Well, and they were dead in the water too. So they lost to Seattle in Week 1 at Seattle. They lost to New England at
New England. Should have won that game. By the way, mm-hmm. Remember?
But you open up at Seattle at New England. That's brutal. Then they snuck past the Browns in overtime.
There's one bad team, Browns. They have no win.
They lost at Cincinnati in Week 4. That is a horrible schedule to open up the season.
Right.
They lost to Tennessee in Week 5.
That was the game that, you know, now that's, yeah, okay, but we're going through.
I'm just getting, all right, so remember they ripped off 6 straight wins. They beat Pittsburgh, Buffalo, the Jets, 2 bad teams.
Bad team.
At San Diego.
Bad team.
At the Rams.
Bad team.
San Francisco.
Bad team.
They lost at Baltimore.
Right.
They beat Arizona.
Bad team.
And they beat the Jets on the road.
Bad team. The only victory of note that they have is against Pittsburgh.
Yeah. And that was
Roethlisberger got hurt that game.
Yeah. He played in that game, but they just thumped him. It was a weird game. They just thumped him. So what are you saying about him?
I'm saying Gase has done an amazing job with him. Not a very talented team, but they where's their signature victories and how good are they?
Yeah.
That team, but in fairness to them, they lost their best defensive player, one of them, Rashad Jones, for the year. Mike Pouncey's been out. They've had injuries on the offensive line all year. And now they don't have their quarterback. So, you know, in fairness to them, they tell me, you went on the road with Matt Moore, I don't care who you play, that's a good job.
Who do you think comes away? So let's say Kansas City's going to get that wild card, that number 5 spot. Or Oakland, one of those teams in the West is going to get that wild card in the 5. Who's going to come away? Of course, yeah, they don't have to play each other. Who's going to come away with the 6 seed there? Because Miami's 9-5.
Well, remember, if Miami and Baltimore tie,
Baltimore has the tiebreak. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Tennessee 8-6, Houston 8-6, but one of them can't finish with 10 wins because they're playing each other.
Well, here's what happens. Here's the thing in the Houston Tennessee situation. Their games this week don't matter, right?
No. I mean, for the wild card, they do, though.
For the division title, they don't matter.
Right.
Because they play next week. So even if both of them, if one of them won and one of them, okay, let's say Texans won this week and Titans lost.
Yeah.
But then the Titans, then they got to go, then I think you'd have to go figure out that, because the Titans
Yeah,
win.
See,
because
right, the Texans right now have the tiebreaker over the Titans based on their head-to-head. But so Tennessee.
Right, but then if the Titans beat them in the last game of the year, then it would be based off. Then they'd be tied,
right.
And that. So then you go to division games.
Yeah. Then you go to division games, and obviously you're going to have two division games this week. Not for the Texans.
Right, in that scenario, Jacksonville beats them, so that's a loss for Tennessee in the division. They lost to the Colts twice, and then they lost to Texans.
Well,
the
Texans already have – the Texans hold the – Texans are 5-0 in the division. Titans are 1-3. So even if
regardless
of whether they went out, the Texans hold that division tiebreaker.
No, if the Titans went out, they win the division.
That's correct.
Right.
But if the Titans lose this week
– And you think they can still be a wild card team with 8 losses?
No. If the Titans lose this week and then lose to Houston, they're done. I'm saying if the Titans win this week, they're 9-6, and then they beat
and then lose the last week
and then
and
lose to Houston,
seven.
They're 9-7. They're there. Miami's 9-5, but they're at Buffalo. Then they might get New England with nothing to play for. and Baltimore's there at 8-6. Baltimore's at Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati. So I mean, the Titans can still get in if they lose, but Houston could beat Cincinnati and lose, and they could be 9-7 and get in too.
Yeah, Miami. If Miami wins one, it gets to 10. They're in.
Yeah, exactly. More than likely. Although Baltimore could. Baltimore could.
Baltimore played at Pittsburgh this week. Let's just say the Steelers win, and that means Steelers win a division.
Yeah.
So then that gets Baltimore to.
Baltimore's 8-7, and then they play at Cincinnati, so they could go 9-7. So you could have a situation where it's Baltimore, the loser of Houston.
If Miami gets one more, they get 10.
Yeah. If Miami wins this week, they're in really, really good shape to make the playoffs. But they got to win this week.
Yeah, they got New England on New Year's Eve.
You think it's New Year's Day? I think right.
New Year's Day. Yeah.
Do you think
New Year's Eve? That's the week. That's the night that. Belichick and crew move in and make me move out of my room that night.
That's right. They're going to be staying at the...
Don't announce it. I don't want anybody coming over there.
I mean, I'm sure that the fans will figure it out. By the way, Buffalo is supposed to be... This is a pretty look-ahead forecast for this weekend, but Sunday... Oh, it's Saturday. It's not Sunday. Oh, man. It's supposed to be 38 and scattered showers throughout the day on Saturday.
That's nothing.
I mean, if you live in Miami, it didn't.
Just, I mean, that's nothing.
It could end up being snow. Who knows? It could freeze in
that's
there.
That's not bad weather. The Buffalo in December, that's like
75
degrees and sunny.
That's true. Do you think it's tougher for Miami to go on the road in December to Buffalo because of where they live and where they play?
Tougher than what?
I mean, do you think... Buffalo is not a great team, but do you think that makes it difficult for the Miami players to go deal with that sort of weather?
38 degrees is not cold, Will.
I mean, it's colder than if you can roll down your window. Don't do it while we're on the podcast, but you could roll down
in NFL football. That is balmy in December in Buffalo.
You could roll down the windows and let the breeze run through your hair there, Pete.
I don't have any hair.
you could let the breeze. Balm all over your tan scalp right now if you wanted to, and it would be warm because it's hot in Florida, isn't it?
Well, it's not hot in Jacksonville, and I'm getting there, and it's the 50s, so I don't know how hot it is.
Ooh, all right, maybe Miami, but Fort Lauderdale is probably like 75 right now. All I'm saying.
Will, 38 in December in Buffalo is a great weather condition for the Dolphins, comparatively speaking.
That's true. It could be like 10 degrees and snowing. All right. I'm just saying it's out there. Just throwing it out there. All right. That's all I got. You got anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, cool. Enjoy the rest of your drive. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hopefully, Pete, we'll be back next Tuesday to record another show. I'll be back later this week to record the Picks podcast with Nick Costas. Subscribe via iTunes. Follow Pete on Twitter @PriscoCBS. I'm @WillBrinson. Thanks for listening. Drive safe, Pete.
You got it.